This is the Friday, July 22, 2016 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The right mix of weather and excellent crop conditions worked to overpower good export demand as the grain markets finished mixed. For the week, September wheat barely finished in positive territory after losing ground most of the week. The nearby corn contract lost more territory, falling 17 cents. Slower than expected exports and good weather conspired to keep the pressure on August soybeans as the contract fell 66 cents. August meal followed the trend, losing $22.70 per ton. In the softs, December cotton lost $1.60 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, August Class 3 milk futures gained 27 cents. The livestock sector moved lower as the August cattle contract dropped 97 cents. August feeders lost 238, and the July lean hog contract shrank 265. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index moved 95 points higher. Crude oil lost 246 per barrel. Gold retreated $4 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index lost nearly 11 points to finish the week at 349.50. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is our senior market analyst, John Roach. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike. Nice to be here.
Now, you have gotten to travel a little bit of the Corn Belt here over this past week. Give us the 10,000-foot view. What have you seen in your travels?
Excellent crops. Corn and soybeans look just super. A few fields that maybe have a little problem here or there, but not very many. And so these high ratings that the government gives us appears to be continuing today.
All right. So good-looking corn and soybean crop, phenomenal-looking wheat crop as we move out farther west, phenomenal harvests. This wheat market, relatively stable on the week or closed, similar to last week. Have we found a bottom in wheat?
I think we have. I think what the market's done is eroded well before we came into harvest, so that as we got into the harvest that we knew that was a big crop, we could see the kind of yields that were out there, and the market came down and found a bit of a bottom. We're also getting some positive news. The French crop continues to be reduced a little bit. The Argentine crop is expected to be a little bit smaller. So some of the world competition may not be quite as great, but on the other hand, you've got a Russian crop that looks like it's a really big one. So it's not time really to get overly optimistic about the market, but it is time to expect it to bottom and then have some harvest, post-harvest recovery.
Okay. Do you expect that post-harvest recovery in the short term, in the next 2 to 3 months, or is this something, if you've got additional bushels that you need to sit on, are you going to have to sit on them for a little while?
I think we have to sit on them for a little while. I mean, when you have wheat piled in the street, it really is an unusual, burdensome supply that really needs to get in under cover. It needs to really get pushed into the marketplace. So it would seem to me it's going to take a little while to get that cleaned up.
All right. Well, now let's take a look at this corn market, 17 cents down. As you mentioned, phenomenal-looking crop. We've got a question here from one of our followers on Twitter, and this is from our Canadian friend, Philip Shaw at Agridome. He's asking, can this U.S. corn crop set a new yield record above 171 bushel per acre? What do you think?
I think it's possible. I mean, we have to have the right kind of weather from here on through the rest of the growing season. But at the moment, we have an excellent crop. It's been very highly rated really since the first ratings week. And now we had rains come across in most areas. And we have some drier areas in the eastern part of the belt. But I think there's a real possibility of a record yield this year.
So how do we handle that? I was speaking with some farmers this week in central Iowa. One of them mentioned he still had a number of old crop corn bushels left to sell. Are we going to get a pop, anything to scare this market higher before harvest starts in earnest on the old crop side?
Well, I think the market can have a bounce. I mean, we've had such a precipitous fall that getting a bounce back in the market is to be expected. And I think that on that bounce, you'll want to be a seller of corn. However, if you're looking to be building storage on the farm, if this is something that in your longer-term business plan you look and say, you know, we need more storage, this is an excellent year to build the storage, fill it with the corn at these kind of price levels. I think we'll have a good recovery as we move into the spring next year, as we did this year, as we did last year. We had big supplies, but we still had good recovery because of the size of demand and a little bit of worry about crop, and we can have a sharply higher market. People need to understand this size of demand requires big crops year after year after year.
You know, and we've heard in the last week or 10 days, you know, ethanol demand or demand for ethanol has been phenomenal. We're seeing folks driving more. Where do you see us going on the export side? Do we have better opportunities as we look out, as you mentioned, into the springtime?
I think so. Remember, one of our biggest competitors is Brazil. And this year, the Brazilian second crop was really hurt by hot, dry weather really throughout almost its entire season. Just a week ago or a week and a half ago, they reduced that crop by 7 million tons. We think it could be reduced a little bit more. The Brazilians have been shipping in the last 10 weeks an average of about 11,000 tons. Very, very small quantity. And they're expected to ship something in the neighborhood of 27 million tons. And they have not had the supplies available to be able to do it. And I think that business will come back to the United States because they simply don't have the grain in order to supply those level of exports.
Okay. Soybeans. From the peak of the soybean rally earlier this summer till Friday's close, we've lost $10 in that August soybean contract, or close to it. Excuse me, $2. Did I say 10? I meant $2. 10 would be, I don't know if we'd be on if we lost $10.
It's felt like $10.
It has felt like $10. Same question to you there. Are we getting close to a bottom?
Well, we haven't cleaned the speculative the ownership yet. If you look at it from a fundamental standpoint, we really have longer-term positive fundamentals. The carryover numbers that are projected for this upcoming fall, not the fall of 16, but the fall of 17, worldwide will be the smallest that we have seen, actually even a little smaller than 2012 carryover stocks. So we're going to have very tight supplies. And it would seem to me that the market's going to come after those bushels as soon as we find some sort of a bottom. I think what we have now is we have specs selling to users, and that's fine. But one of these days, we will turn the market around, and when it starts to recover, we're going to have to come up to whatever farmers want for their soybeans. We have to move up in order to get to the price level they want. Again, the corn exports out of Brazil have been very small. The bean exports out of Brazil have actually been relatively brisk, and the projected total exports, we should be there in 6 to 7 weeks. In other words, they should be sold out of their this year's production in that relatively short period of time. We become the only market in town at that point.
So regardless of what happens with the U.S. dollar, we should still find international buyers for our beans.
Certainly the Chinese have surprised people through the year. The attitude was, well, maybe they were going to back off a little bit in their buying. They didn't back off at all. They're running about 10% above last year's imports. There's talk that, well, they're going to back off next year. But we hear that talk, but we have yet really to see that ever materialize. I think sometimes we hear the talk because it's in their best interest to have us think they don't want more.
Right. Well, let's talk about the cotton market. Phenomenal week last week. This week, we pulled back a little bit, lost $1.60 a hundredweight. What does that tell you in this market? Have we found a new floor here for cotton?
I don't want to go quite that far. I think what happened was we got the July supply-demand reports from the carryover stocks that were coming into this year, the June estimate, to the July estimate for carryover stocks going out into next year. We lost about 10% of the U.S. or the total of the world stocks, and that changes the fundamentals a little bit, and it gave us certainly a big rally in the market. Took us right up into a sell signal. It's the only market I've got a sell signal in, and we've been there for, I think, 6 days. So we're an active seller of cotton at these kind of price levels, because in the final analysis, we still have something over 100 days worth of surplus expected in the United States and 10 months worth of surplus in the world. So we're not into tight supplies at all. We've had a great rally. Take advantage of it if you're a cotton producer.
It's a bird in the hand here, a dime over our range for the past 3 years. Take it.
Look over to the soybean market where you had really tight fundamentals that you said just fell $2. Okay? Cotton people want to pay attention to that. They have the opportunity. Don't miss it.
All right. Looking at this livestock market, we continue to see that huge, huge break between the futures and the cash price. When are we going to find a bottom here in live cattle?
Cattle market this week printed the lowest prices in 4 years. You know, there's not much optimism. We saw the cattle on feed report today. It came out pretty much in line with what the trade was looking for, but it's bigger numbers as we go forward, and we need to somewhere or another pick up the demand, and here we are at a time of the year when we might hope for some decent barbecue weather and so forth. I was out yesterday afternoon at my son's house, and we said, do we want to grill steaks? We decided we didn't want to start any fire, and so the demand and this extreme temperature that we've been experiencing across a lot of the country has been hurt because of the temperature.
Do you expect international demand for meat protein to pick up in the next year? Can we find some buyers outside the country?
I think there's certainly an opportunity to do that. A lot's going to depend on what economic conditions we have around the world. But we certainly have that opportunity.
All right. Feeder cattle, we continue to see that break fall right in line with live cattle. Do we need to see live cattle find a bottom before this feeder cattle market is going to?
Probably. It's amazing that the feeder cattle market's going down with the corn market going down. That's very unusual that you have both of them moving in the same direction.
But you don't see an end in sight here as long as live cattle are so underperforming.
We just made the low in the live cattle this week. So it may be right. It may be the right time. But there's really no indication that we're at that spot yet. There'll be some feeder cattle maybe needing to move off of some drier pasture conditions where we have some of that. But otherwise, we really don't see that much of a reason to be aggressively buying feeder cattle. Be cautious.
Okay. Lean hog market. That was a market that we've talked about for quite a while, had phenomenal strength. In the past 2-3 weeks, it has really started to break. We haven't seen many positive days in lean hogs. How do we find a new bottom or a new range in this hog market?
Well, we first of all have to get to the peak of slaughter numbers. And this is the time of year. You're not at peak slaughter kind of numbers at all. Those are coming down the road yet. And so we think that the hog market's going to be a tough sled here for another few months. Until we finally can develop get the price where it needs to be and develop the demand to clear the meat supplies.
Okay. We've talked a little bit. You've mentioned global economics as we look for support for the proteins in particular. Where do you see the dollar going? We're coming into summer. Are you in the camp that expects to see an interest rate increase here yet this year?
I wouldn't be surprised that we would get an interest rate increase, but I'm not sure that it's really going to boost the dollar that far. The dollar acts like it has printed a high. We've been in the same broad kind of trading range now for a period of a couple of years, and so maybe we're high enough on the dollar. The situation in Europe with the Brits leaving, that hasn't turned out to be quite as bad as what some of the people thought it might be initially. This week the talk was maybe there's a little more time to make the transitions. So at the moment we're thinking the dollar has somewhat of a cap on it here, and we're not so much worried about that. We think for grain producers particularly, they need to also keep an eye on the Brazilian real, because the Brazilian real slid substantially over a period of a couple of years, which gave them a real advantage. And now here since March, the real has been strengthening, and that slides the advantage back to the United States. So the real has a long ways to recover if they can kind of get their act in order, in which case that helps our demand.
Could be a tailwind for U.S. grain producers.
We need something.
John Roach, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Mike.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but John and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available on our website. And like us on Facebook. You'll find links to some of our videos, and you never know when we might go live for a behind-the-scenes report. And join us again next week when we'll examine how butchers in rural America are working to stay a cut above the rest. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.